Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this third Sunday of Lent is our Gospel reading, St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. These are the words of our Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 9/11. Was it the fault of the New Yorkers or of our nation? Was it the sins of the city or something else that the calamity came here to our own soil? When the disciples came across a man who was born blind, they asked Jesus why he was born like that. Was it his sin or the sin of his parents? Here in today's gospel text, Jesus answers the same type question, although not asked here. Yet this is our question, isn't it? All the time. Every time something horrible happens, so much so that we have an official name for it, is called a theodicy. The why God question. King David also asks why. Why does it seem that the wicked prosper? Why do the heathen get to rage on, seem to have all the money, all the fun in their destructive sin, and get to have their kicks when they hurt others, all the while we suffer? All while we have so much less. Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others? Do they deserve more punishment than the other Galileans that were not killed? Do you think that the New Yorkers were worse sinners than the rest of the nation? Well, I have heard from a lot of people, many would say yes. Yes to that. If so, then the church needs to say to those people, repent of such pride. Look in the mirror. Do you think that we do anything less deserving of such punishment, less deserving of death and damnation? Are the car dealerships here more honest than, say, the ones in Los Angeles or in New York City? We too have our fair share of thieves and drunks and adulterers and fornicators, liars, cheats, and who knows what else, don't we? No, we are all the same ungodly sinners, deserving the same fate as that of New York. I am with you, guilty as you are here in this. We all deserve the same punishment now and in eternity. We confess that truth each Sunday, as we just did today. This is what we are and what we deserve. But this is not only what we are, and we can thank God for that. More on that in just a bit. But no, we are not any better than the people of Chicago, New York, or New Delhi, India. And Jesus warns that if we don't repent, we will perish like those in the text. A tower falling on 18 in Siloam. Two towers fell in New York. Tsunamis and hurricanes have come, haven't they? Earthquakes too, and people bent on killing. Yet these events are nothing. Nothing compared to what awaits those who refuse to repent. Jerusalem was surrounded by the Romans until many killed each other inside the walls. Then the Romans, they came and they leveled the place. Remember the stories of London or Dresden during World War II? Remember Nagasaki and Hiroshima? No, remember New York Don't forget. You hear that often, but it seems that they have. They seem to be forgetting already and going back to the usual life of sin. The ELCA Synod of New York, not too long after, announced they will ordain homosexual pastors. Yes, this even after 9/11. They are ignoring God's warning. A tornado went through Minneapolis and bent the cross over that ELCA church that voted to allow the same thing. Now, I'm just picking on that particular church body, but they're not alone in this. You name the congregation, the church body that hasn't compromised the faith, allowed this sin to just, well, it's okay, you know. But no, remember. Remember 9/11. Remember the tower in our text that fell. Yes, remember. We can go further back. Remember Nineveh. Jonah preached repentance to the people of Nineveh. And if you don't know much about those people, they were feared because they were vicious. They intentionally did the most vicious things to their enemies so that they would be feared. Unspeakable, horrific things. Nobody liked them. Jonah did not want them to be spared. He was looking forward to the day that God would judge them and wipe them out. But he was told to preach repentance. And God spared the city for years because they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Generations actually went by, I think somebody calculated, it was like 210 years that city remained. Yet that city became once again one of those most corrupt in that region. They forgot. It was then conquered for its wickedness. Jesus warns, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then Jesus tells this story. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone for this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Jesus is the vine dresser. Jesus is willing to wait. Jesus is willing to and active. He's willing and active with his gospel of grace. He will not snuff out a smoldering wick, he says. He is long-suffering. He is more patient than we ever would be. He is more willing to forgive sins and all of them. And that's what I'm announcing here today. He is more willing than we would ever, ever be willing to be. I mean, what did Jesus answer? For the reason that the man was born blind, what was Jesus' answer? Yes, sin was the general cause, is the general cause of all of our plights, all of it. But what did he answer? Jesus answered, it was not this man's sin or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus loves that reversal on the devil. What the devil intended, what our sin, what all of that was intended, Jesus reverses. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Today is a day like that day. It is a day of salvation also, a day of seeing. Today your eyes are being opened. Today his water washes that cloud of sin from your vision. Today you are being washed by the water of his word. Hear it. Believe it. Do not wait. Repent. Now. This is the time of grace in which he is in the world, in his church, and working. The church is his light in the world. It is shining on you. Yes, even we who are Christians, believers, still need to repent. And this daily, we live a life of repentance, receiving the benefits of our baptism daily, being washed daily for the forgiveness of our sins. Luther says that we are to hear, I am to preach this every single Sunday because you and I both forget it every single Sunday. And this is where we come to know also that we are sinners, but also saints. This is the other thing that I said I will mention. We are not just sinners. We are also saints for Christ's sake. Not from our holiness, but his. Not because we deserve anything, but because he does. And it is all here for you and for me. So then, as washed and clean, shining, each believer is also a light that shines in the darkness of this world. Christians reflect God's word and show forth his truth, both law that is not kept. We point out the sin, but also his amazing grace and forgiveness. We point to Jesus, sure salvation. But one day, soon we will be taken out of here. The end will come. Sooner for those, for some, than others. But in the end, there is judgment. That's what we need to be clear and need to say clearly. Those that did not repent will perish like those others in our text, like those at 9/11. But for right now, we must do his work. He lights to the world, which means we need to repent ourselves and then warn others of the coming destruction and judgment. Tell them of the only safe and sure place in Jesus. Salvation is only in Jesus, the very reason we are here in this place today. Will they listen? We hope and pray that many do. Abraham asked God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah. If there were some righteous living there, how many? How many are left in America? Nineveh repented and was spared. Sodom did not. What are we as a nation? How close are we to being brought down? For now, Jesus will fertilize with his word and sacrament. He will do this in us and for us, so that works of God might be displayed in us. Even if this nation will not repent and God judges it before the end, before the final judgment, he will spare us, his church. He will keep us safe. He rescued Lot by taking him out of Sodom, if you remember. St. John had a vision of the church in the future in the revelation given to him. He showed that she, the church, is kept safe and hidden from the great dragon, the devil. We are kept safe in Christ, under the shadow of his wings, in the cleft of the rock, so we don't see the revealed judgment of God, safe like Moses and glowing like Moses. His glory will be revealed in us. That is his promise. He will come back and take us to live in his city, where there is no sin, where there is no darkness ever, where there are no wicked to prosper. It is a place free from sin and all that it causes. This is where his glory will be fully revealed in us. And not just for a temporary sight to be seen, but a new sight that is better than these old corrupted bodies can do, because we will see him face to face. Seeing what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We will see it all and have it all. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.